Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
So, what's going on? So excited that you chose to tune in with us today into our daily soap. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 8 today, diving into all things of the conquest of AI. Ah, awesome. Okay, Joshua chapter 9. That's so great. All right, let me redo that intro. Good catch, guys. Good catch. Yep. Okay, I have my date wrong. Fantastic. So good. All right, Joshua chapter 9. Let's redo that so we can welcome the podcast people and we'll see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. And everyone said, amen. All right, what's going on, everybody? So excited that you chose to tune in with us today into our daily soap. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 9 today, and we're going to be looking into the deception of Gibeon and the life of that and what it looked like and the impact of the Israelites. But so excited to be jumping in with you. We are going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible today. And if you're watching live with us on Zoom right now, come on, my Zoom people, drop in the chat, make some noise, say hello, good morning. If you have any questions or verses that stand out to you, be sure to drop it inside of that chat. I have no problem taking a sidetrack deviation into all things that God is speaking to you and highlighting and jumping into the questions that some people are thinking, but they're too afraid to ask. So don't be afraid to jump in there and share how God is speaking to you. Now, let's pray. We're going to jump right into this chapter. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful that you have a habit of speaking to us and you want to give your word to us. So God, I just pray that you would open our hearts, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and Spirit of God, that you would just impart timeless truth that is so important for our lives. And God, we just thank you that you don't let us wander around without an instruction manual, but God, that you give us this precious word to unpack inside of our lives. We praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. All right, let's check out Joshua chapter 9. Just one more time. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. It's just a translation that I prefer. However, the translation you read is the translation that's best. What's important is that you are imparting the Word of God onto your life. So let's check this out. Joshua chapter 9. When all the kings heard about Jericho and Ai, those who were west of the Jordan in the hill country in the Judean foothills and all along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they formed a unified alliance to fight against Joshua and Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they acted deceptively. They gathered provisions and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and old wineskins cracked and mended. They wore old patched sandals on their feet and threadbare clothing on their bodies. Their entire provision of bread was dry and crumbly. They went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land. Please make a treaty with us." The men of Israel replied to Hivites, "Perhaps you live among us. How can we make a treaty with you?" They said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua asked them, "Who are you and where did you come from?" He replied to him, "Your servants have come from faraway land because of the reputation of the Lord your God. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two Amorite kings beyond the Jordan, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan, who was in Ashtoreth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of the land told us, 'Take provisions with you.' for the journey. Go and meet them and say, we are your servants. Please make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we took it from our houses as food on the day we left to come to you. But see, it is now dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, but see, they are cracked. And these clothes and sandals of ours have worn out from an extremely long journey. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's decision. Ooh. So Joshua established peace with them and made a treaty to let them live. And the leaders of the community swore an oath to them. 3 days after making the treaty with them, they heard the Gibeonites were in their neighbors living among them. So the Israelites set out to reach the Gibeonite cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chephirath, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the community had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole community grumbled against the leaders. All leaders answered them, "We have sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This is how we will treat them. We will let them live so that no wrath will fall on us because of the oath we swore to them." They also said, "Let them live." So the Gibeonites became woodcutters and water carriers for the whole community and the leaders, as the leaders had promised them. Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said to them, "Why did you deceive us by telling us you live far away from us when in fact you live among us? Therefore, you are cursed and will also be or always be slaves, woodcutters, and water carriers for the house of my God." The Gibeonites answered him, "It was clearly communicated to your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. We greatly feared for our lives because of you, and that is why we did this. Now we are in your hands. Do whatever you think is right." This is what Joshua did to them. He rescued them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. On the day he made them woodcutters and water carriers, as they are today, for the community and for the Lord's altar at the place he would choose. So good. So a little bit of context behind the text. I love pressing into all of the background story behind chapters, and I think this is so important to us, our lives, our relationship with God, is that when we read just one chapter of the Bible, understanding that it doesn't stand alone, but the reality is that one chapter is a part of a greater story happening. And when we can understand the story and the bigger picture, we can understand some of the context of what is being communicated. So to understand, Joshua was the one that led the Israelites into the promised land after Moses' death. So Moses had raised up Joshua as his successor to lead the Israelites, and God's hand was all over Joseph, or excuse me, Joshua. And he leads him across the river, leads him into the promised land. And as they're getting in there, they have to actually occupy the land. And it's really important because the Israelites had spent 40 years inside of the desert. And I think that is so interesting to apply to our own lives because the Israelites spent a very long time in slavery in Egypt, and they could have taken a very direct route, fast, quick route into the promised land. Yet God had them inside of the desert to write. They got out of Egypt physically, but God had to get Egypt out of them spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. So there was parts of Egypt that had been imparted on them, and God needed warriors to take the promised land, but they were not warriors yet in their thinking and their living. And I think so often for us, that is exactly what happens. Come on, somebody, right? Talk to me. Because we get delivered from certain things, yet God wants to take Egypt out of us. In other words, take our environments out of us, right? Take our childhood out of us. Take our workplace out of us. And that's kind of the essence of, right, Freedom Ministries, as we went through our Freedom Conference last weekend. Because we want to get free from the things that have held us back and held us down. And Joshua here is leading these new people, that is the Israelites, into the promised land and into conquesting this promised land. We see Jericho, where they marched around the walls 7 times, blew the horns, and absolutely, right? They raided the place and they took it for the Lord. They went to Ai, they lost the first battle. Because they had not been obedient to God in their conquest of Jericho. And then since they went to Ai without seeking the Lord and they were unfaithful, they lost the first battle. But then the second battle, they had sought God and they won it. And here they are now, post Ai, getting ready to for the next battle. And as they're getting ready for this next battle, this is where the Gibeonites come into play. When they approach the Israelites and they start wanting to make a treaty for their own lives. Now, I think it's really important to understand for us today, because we can look at these accounts from thousands and thousands of years ago and say, that's just history, right? I don't see any of you grabbing a spear and walking around your territory and walking the outside of your property saying, you better cut that tree back because a couple branches are hanging over my fence. At least I hope you're not. If you come to Fusion Church and you're walking around with a sword and a shield telling your neighbor, you better watch it where you're mowing the lines on your grass. We got to pull it together and jump back into freedom. Where are my people at? But right here, we see that the application for us is this. As the Gibeonites approached the Israelites, they were coming with deception. Right, they had made themselves look a certain way to win the favor of the Israelites. Now, I want to say this. It will look good when it comes to you, right? The Bible describes Satan as the angel of light. So often we think that when the enemy is coming at us, we think it's going to be filled with nothing but disaster. And it, like, we kind of think it's going to be disgusting in a way. But I want to tell you, Satan knows your triggers many times better than you do. And when he comes to you, he's going to come to you in a way that actually appeals to you. That's the essence of temptation. That's the essence of deception, because it comes in a way that wants to appeal to a nature inside of us. And the better we know ourselves, the better we know our triggers, the better that we can follow what God wants us to do. God did not want the people to be making a treaty with the Gibeonites. God wanted the Israelites to conquer the promised land because it was given to them. God was handing it over to them. Yet because they allowed themselves to get deceived, right? And I bet it probably looked good. I imagine this is what it was like being the Israelites in that moment. They had been working hard, right? My note takers, right? They had been working hard. They had been at war. Think about it. We get to live inside of nice, comfortable houses with air conditioning. I imagine it was a little bit warm over there. They're hot. They don't really have a super strong infrastructure of life yet. How many of us praise God for indoor plumbing? We are grateful to Jesus for indoor plumbing. If you need a reason to thank God today, you go to the Lord and say, God, thank you. I have indoor plumbing and a hot shower. Ooh, right? I'm grateful for what God has given us. They did not have infrastructure of life yet. So as soon as someone approaches them and says, let us be your slaves and work the jobs that none of the Israelites want to work, create infrastructure for you, it was tempting to them because they saw them inside of all their clothing. They saw them in the cracked wineskins that were put back together. And they said, these people are no threat to us. Let's just make them a slave and keep on going. And I think it's very interesting because even the line is in here where it says, excuse me, where it says that they did not seek the Lord's decision. And I think that is such an important principle for us in our lives because God has insight into situations, right? Just like this, from the Alpha to the Omega. He has insight on a decision from the beginning and the end. It is so important to know when God looks at our lives, he sees the beginning of the book and the end of the book. He writes the chapters. So for us as Christ followers, when we are facing decisions to make, if we don't include God inside of it, so often we'll find ourselves getting deceived by the enemy of our soul and enemy of our life, not knowing that we are actually agreeing with another plan than God's plan. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be someone who says, yes, God, whatever your decision is, I'm going to follow it. So here's my little one-liner, my note for it. Before making a decision, seek God's direction. Because we want to know where God wants us to go before we make a decision to step into it. And this is kind of a principle that I take into my own life. It works for me. The Bible actually says, especially in the New, well, it's an Old Testament principle, but Jesus repeats it in the New Testament where it says, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, something is established. So here's what I do, church. For me personally, whenever I get ready to make a big decision, I have three elders. They are pastors and retired pastors inside of my life that I seek. And I say, hey guys, I got to talk to you, right? I believe that the Lord is saying this to me. Whatever it is, right? When it came to coming here to Fusion Church, however many years ago, where it was like, God, we believe that you're taking us to a new church, but Lord, we are seeking your direction and your decision on where you'd like us to go. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring accountability into the conversation. I'm going to bring someone in the conversation. I know they're praying. I know they hear God. I know they know his word. And I'm going to bring them into the conversation so we can all partner together inside of this. And as I did that, I realized that God was actually bringing direction to our lives to start a new chapter of life and a new chapter of ministry. So I want to encourage you, whether you are inside of a job and you're tired of it, you're frustrated, you're looking for the new place, whether you're inside of the relationship, you're ready to dump the guy or dump the girl, right? Whether you're inside of the friendship and the friendship is just driving you crazy. It's like, all right, I'm ready to stop answering the text messages, right? Maybe for some of us, we have some parents who are just driving us crazy. And as we look at all these situations, I want to encourage you, get people in your life that will pray with you on the decisions based on God's direction, because we all want to follow where God is taking us. And I want to tell you this, there is, as Deuteronomy chapter 8 would tell us, there is blessing inside of obedience. So when I obey what God is telling me, I actually receive a blessing that he wants to pour out on my life. Which brings me to my next piece is this. And I'm going to give you an acronym. I picked this up from another pastor at one point. And when it comes to us and following God, there's this little acronym that I love to just kind of post in my own head. And it's this, it's HBO. Come on, it's our HBO series. We're going to make it super easy for us today. And if you've got a problem me using HBO as an acronym, just plug your ears for a second. HBO, right? Hear, believe, and obey. I want to tell you, God actually wants to speak to us. I am a person, please hear me. I am a person, very much so, that loves hearing from God. I'm an individual that does believe that God still speaks today by his Holy Spirit speaking on the inside of us. There are moments where God, and even recently, where God has spoken to me and said, hey, I want you to reach out to this person and pray for them. And as I'm reaching out to them, they share something going on inside of their life that they desperately need a prayer for. I believe that the Spirit of God still speaks to us. As I read this Old Testament, as we check out the life of Joshua, the life of Moses, and we see God speaking to them, I don't believe God all of a sudden one day just said, I'm done talking, right? I believe he continues speaking. Now, with that being said, maybe you're an individual that you say, I don't really necessarily have, I've never heard God before, and whatever that may look like for you, it's all good. Can I tell you, we can talk about the inner voice of the Holy Spirit all day, but if you really want to hear God speak, you know what you do? You pick up this Bible right here, because this is the very word of God. You want to hear from him? Grab this right here. On your lunch break, you better break out that YouVersion Bible app and do that devotional you've been talking about doing for months, right? You better break out and get that streak going that you said you were going to kick off on January 1st for your New Year's resolution. But here we are in May, and we still haven't kicked it off. Where are my people at? It's okay. We could all be transparent with each other today. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. But here's the beautiful part. If we want to hear from God, we have to actually engage with his word. So we want to hear from him, and he wants to speak to us. And here's what's so incredible to me. God wants to speak to us even more than I want to hear from him. So my dad wants to give me instructions. My dad wants to give me encouragement. My dad wants to give me direction inside of my life. So I want to hear from him. But it's not enough just to hear, because we can hear all day long. Parents, let's talk for a second, parents. Because my beautiful, wonderful, almost perfect, almost 10-month-old child is already disobedient. And he's a child, right? And you gotta let him do his thing. But if he pulls my chest hair again, dads, where are we? Oh my gosh. We are being real on soap today. And my beautiful son, who makes me wince as he grabs like this, pulls and goes, in my face. It's disrespectful. And he understands enough because here's the thing, he has a favorite snack that he likes to eat. It's called the Melties. And he knows when that bag of Melties comes out, he's getting Melties and he goes bananas. So he understands some things. When I tell him no, let go, it hurts. He understands something. So anyway, right, we want to hear, we want to believe. So as we're believing, right, I would love for my son, my beautiful, precious, almost perfect son, to believe that his parents are doing what's best for him when they put him down for a nap. Come on, parents. When they say this isn't good for you, I wish you would believe me. As my child continues to try and go after the outlet that I had to buy an encasing for so he couldn't get into it, I wish, my child, you would believe me when I say this isn't good for you, or this is good for you and you just don't know it yet. I wonder how many of us have to hear that today, that we've been in the middle of a situation, the middle of the pain, the middle of the struggle, and God is looking at you and saying, "My child, you have no idea how good this really is for you." Because had you not gone through this pain, you never would have had this revelation of Christ in your life that he wants to give you. And for me, I'm so grateful for that. You know, because there's these moments that hurt so desperately. They hurt so bad. Yet God wants to show himself to us. I'm grateful because, as I shared a couple weeks ago in the one message on worry and anxiety, I am not exactly the most anxious person in the world. It's not like that isn't one of my struggles. Like I have plenty of others. Please hear me. Plenty of others. But in that season of life when we had our cancer scare with Shannon, that's when I started feeling anxiety and it was crippling me. And then, of course, as I share, I keep on turning over the anxiety to the Lord, right? I'm casting my cares on God, for He cares for me, and I'm obeying the word of the Lord, and I'm believing that He has something good for us. I want to tell you, I chose to believe that God had a good plan for us in the midst of all of it. And I didn't like the situation. Yet I want to tell you this, because of what I went through, I gained an empathy for people who deal with anxiety that I did not have before. And I would not have had it without it. Because transparently, when people came to me and they said they were anxious, I would just say, "You need to just trust God." That's all I got for you. But after God brought me through the moments where your heart beats so hard inside of your chest that you just have a hard time catching your breath. In the moments where you're just sitting down, the anxiety is attacking your thoughts and the what ifs are plaguing you, right? In that moment, I had to start believing that God was going to do something great inside of this and believing that He was going to not only pull us through, but show Himself to us in a way that I had not yet seen. I never would have seen Jesus through that lens had we not gone through that situation. So I'm sharing this with you today because you might be going through that situation and you're just waiting for it to be finished. You're going through a situation, it was unjust. It never should have happened. Why in the world would a judge ever rule that way? Where are my people at? Why in the world would it ever pan out this way? Yet I want to tell you, Jesus wants to show himself to you in a way you never would have imagined, that's greater than you ever could have imagined. Because here's the beautiful part, church, God is the one who is in charge of the outcome. So if I'm trusting that the God who wrote the end of the book, which by the way, hey, he wins, which means we win. And since we win with him and in him, then the in-between, I can trust that he's doing something inside of my life. I can believe that he is going to pull me through and do something new. But here's the next part. I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to believe what he says. I'm going to pull it as a principle. But then I have to obey. Whew. Obedience does not always feel good. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. Obedience to God does not always feel good. I wish it did, But sometimes it truly feels like pulling off a band-aid, and it's really on there. Obedience, we so often think that's going to come with, flowers, unicorns, candy canes, it's going to feel fantastic. No, many times obedience actually costs us something. It costs us the thing that we wanted to do. It costs us the, and I want to tell you, obedience so often is a character work on the inside of our heart. Am I willing to say yes to the things to God that I want to say yes to something else? But obedience will cost us. But the beautiful part is there's blessing inside of obedience that we never could have even seen coming. So I want to encourage you today, even as you're looking at your life, hear from God, believe, and obey. Because as we look at the Israelites in the chapter that we were just looking at here, we see the Israelites and they saw, right? They perceived that these people are coming to them and saying, "You need help. We want something. We want infrastructure." However, if they had chose to hear, they'd seek God, believe what he says. And here's the thing: God had already told them to conquer the land. And here's another principle I'll bring to your attention. Since he already spoke to them taking them as captives and saying, "You guys are going to work for us," in so many ways is actually disobeying the prior word that God had given them. So here's something I want to give you. If you right here, right now, if you've been seeking God, "Hey Lord, would you speak to me? God, would you give me something that I can, base my life off of? Come on. God, give me something on this situation." And you feel as though the God isn't speaking to you. When you open up your Bible and you're reading, it's like, "All right, God, would you give me a principle?" And you feel as though nothing is jumping out and the Spirit of God just isn't making it pierce your heart in a moment. I want to share this with you. Perhaps you're not getting a new word because God wants you to be faithful to the last word. My thing is always this. If I'm not hearing right now, what I do is I go back to the last thing that he said and make sure that I've been faithful to that. And if I haven't been faithful to the last thing he said, I don't go and ask for more, right? Instead, I'm going to go and obey again that first thing that he commanded me to do. And when I can actually put my faith and my trust in that, say, "God, I know you're going to follow through as I follow through in what you told me to do," that's when the blessing comes in. So here we have the Israelites looking at the Gibeonites like, "All right, guys, we got infrastructure finally." Rather than paying the cost and saying, "No, God told us to conquer the land," and here's the thing, the beauty of the Holy Spirit is he will stop you from being deceived when you seek him, because the Holy Spirit is addicted to truth and he will bring the truth to the surface. And here he is, here they are, rather than seeking the Lord's direction before they make a decision, they just decide to make a decision. And lo and behold, 3 days, it's incredible. 3 days after making the treaty, they heard the Gibeonites were their neighbors living among them. Imagine if they had just waited 3 days. How many of us have made decisions? And it was like big decisions. And suddenly, a couple days later, the truth comes out. And it's like, "Are you serious?" Like, we just talked. You told me that your sandals were worn, right? I saw it with my own eyes. Your clothes had holes in them. And I'm looking at that, and it's like, "Man, I perceived wrong." But here's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. When we choose to see God, he will show us what it is. And I want to tell you, if we find ourselves in this place, because it's not an if, it's a when, church. When it comes to, "I made a wrong decision," when it comes to, "I accepted a promotion without seeking God because it came with more money, where are my people at?" When I came into contact, or, "Oh, wait, let me share this, right? But I'm just praying for him to change." And I get in the relationship without seeking God because, "Oh, it feels good," right? They make me feel good, right? Let me tell you, I share this story very, very, very often. My wife missionary dated me. She decided she was going to pray and believe God. I'll tell you what, God showed up, and obviously, Christ follower, not just that, ended up pastoring inside of the church. And I'm still in awe. But anyway, if I were her pastor at that time, I would have been like, "You need to dump that loser, right? Where are my people at?" You need to get rid of him. Because here's what happens, right? So often we see something, and then 3 days later, after buying into it, after 3 days later, after investing into it, 3 days later, after saying yes to the promotion, right? All of a sudden that honeymoon phase wears off, and we realize there's more to the story than just very simply it looks good, right? It's not just the infrastructure for Israel. It's not just the bigger paycheck for you. It's not just the X, right? You bought the car, and then 3 days later, the check engine light came on. I want to tell you, seeking God in every single decision you make, saying, Lord, is this what you want from my life? He will bring the truth to light quicker than you can imagine. Because it took 3 days for the lie to come out. I want to tell you, God can bring truth a lot faster than that if we just choose to seek Him. Because it may look good on the outside, right? It might look truthful on the outside. But as soon as you start looking on what's on the inside, that's where the Spirit of God starts to work and show you what's real. So as we look at this, we see these Gibeonites. 3 days after, they end up getting exposed, and they go to them and they say, but we made an oath to God and we can't break it. And this is why Jesus inside of the New Testament says this. I'm going to add some theology for us today. Jesus in the New Testament says, do not make oaths. Or another word of saying that is, do not make promises. Just let your yes mean yes. Let your no mean no. So what this means is, right, note takers, lean into this. Your yes meaning yes and your no meaning no means this. Just follow through on what it is you said you were going to do. And I know if you are as busy as I am, where are my busy people at? Like the list just never ends. Like I want to tell you, someone recently checked me in my chest about this. They say, but you said you were going to. I said, you're 100% right. I'm going to be honest. It's not because I didn't want to follow through. The list is just too big. And I just couldn't get to it. And I want to tell you, hey, this is such a good, like, check us in our chest moment. Let the yes mean yes and the no mean no. We don't have to make promises. We just have to give our word and stick to our word. Because you ready for this? Imagine if Christ had given his word, I will be back from the dead in 3 days and then follow through on it. He's going to let his yes mean yes. I'm going to make it happen, right? So we as Christ followers, we just want to make our yes mean yes. We're just going to follow through. And if that means saying no more often, so we can say yes to the things we said yes to, that means saying no more often, so we can be faithful and keep our word. So as we look at this chapter today, what we see is, let's say, one of the shadow sides to Israel. It's a moment that didn't really go too well for them. They attacked AI, it didn't go well. Then they attack AI and they end up winning. And here we see them once again after a victory, not seeking God. And I want to close with this right here. It is very easy to seek God in the valley moments. But many times when we get on the mountaintops of life, those mountaintops are where we stop seeking for some reason. It feels good. We're in the high. We don't feel the pressure to go and right. I want to tell you that's where the Israelites were at. They were coming fresh off of victory. They lost. And there's something about when you have a loss and then you have a big win that just makes you feel incredible. And here they are right after the big win. And after the big win is when they got deceived. I want to encourage you, church. If you're in the mountaintop right now, that's even more reason to praise God. That's even more reason to lean into his presence. It's even more reason to seek him in all things that we do and say, Lord, I'm going to seek your kingdom above else, and I'm going to trust that you're going to add everything else to my life. So, as we are in the mountaintop experiences of life, keep on leaning into the presence of Jesus. Keep on unpacking his word, trusting the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And as we do that, we see God show up inside of our lives because that's where the Israelites were. They were in the middle of the mountaintop experience, and that's when the Gibeonites came to them. And rather than seeking God, they chose to just trust their own perception of the situation and end up getting them in trouble. So, as we kind of reflect in all things inside of our life, we want to hear from God. We want to believe what he says to us, and we want to obey what he says to us, the HBOs of life. In addition to that, we want to follow the Holy Spirit's voice inside of our life and the leading. It may not always feel good, But the obedience side is what he's calling us to. Because when we obey, there is blessing inside of it. And in addition to that, we want to follow through on what we give our yes to. Even if it means giving no to more things, so that we could say yes to the things that we already gave our yes to, we're going to say no to some other stuff so we can be faithful to our word. So when we talk to people and we tell them that there is a God who lives and has done so much inside of our lives, they can trust the word leaving our mouth. They can trust the report because our yes has always meant yes. Isn't that right, church? Can I get an amen? All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful for each and every individual pressing into your word today. God, as we hear from you, as we believe your word, and as we obey what it is that you say, God, I just pray that you continue speaking to us. Holy Spirit, as we saw here inside of the Israelites today, that they didn't seek you, so they were deceived. God, then we know the opposite is true. If we seek you, then we can have discernment. So, God, I just pray for discernment today inside of us. Lord, that your church will be enlightened by the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And God, maybe if we don't have discernment, Lord, help us find and see other people who have discernment so we can navigate this life in a way that honors you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Fusion Church, I love you all. God bless you. Have an incredible day.